Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
Faces a choice. This is Battleground America. Here's Tara Servatius.
Florida Democrat Congressman Jared Moskowitz vowing to immediately force a vote to expel Texas Democratic candidate Maureen Galindo if she's elected to the House after she pledged to imprison American Zionists at an ICE facility. Listen.
This is not just an anti-Semitic comment. This is literally wanting to do what the Nazis did in Germany. Let's start rounding up Jews and put them in camps. She doesn't belong in the Democratic Party. She doesn't belong in politics. This sort of stuff does not belong in America.
That guy you just heard there is one of the two Jewish Democrats, just regular Congress members, who've now called for her to step down and said if she does win, they'll move to have her expelled from Congress. And it's astonishing this is necessary because, folks, she's in first place right now in this runoff. She made it into the runoff in first place in this race. Now, here's the stunning part, okay? Democrat leaders, all the typical ones, House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries, DCCC Chair Susan Delbean, they put out a statement strongly condemning the anti-Semitism. But did you catch what they didn't do? And that's truly stunning. They haven't called for her to drop out. They haven't called for her to step down. They should be the ones saying, hey, if you elect her, she's done on day one. She's going to be removed from Congress. As Representatives Josh Gottheimer and Jared Moskowitz, again, two Democrat Jews, had to say, look, we'll do it because the Democrat leadership wouldn't think about that. She wants to transform an ICE facility into a concentration camp. By the way, she says that she'll be doing castrations there. And she said most of the people being castrated will, of course, be Zionists, i.e. Jews. And the castration, she said, is supposed to be for pedophiles. I guess she's saying Jews are pedophiles. Anyway, I know it's completely crazy. But here's the thing. Why haven't they asked for her to step down? Two words. Graham Plattner. When you have a guy who doesn't just have a Nazi tattoo, okay, that'd be one thing. He's got the SS Totenkopf. I mean, only the most feared, just brutal Secret Service organization tattooed on him. And his own campaign manager says, yeah, he knew what it was. He's not telling you the truth. He absolutely knew what it was. He meant to tattoo that on himself. He had it for 18 years. So, folks, when that guy is out there saying he's a communist, refusing to condemn the assassination attempt on Trump, that guy's out there and he's pulling at 60%. And the previously popular Democrat governor of Maine, Janet Mills, has to drop out because how do you defeat a guy who's pulling at 60%? This is why they're terrified to call for this concentration camp loving anti-Semitic lunatic to drop out in Texas. Folks, I don't think our side grasps how dangerous this revolution is that's going on the left. But let me tell you what their leaders do. And I'm starting to think they're afraid. It was, folks, their first hoax, their greatest hoax, the hoax that made them think they could do all the rest, the Russia collusion hoax, all their other hoaxes. It was man-made global warming. And then when it stopped warming, and that was kind of embarrassing, it was man-made climate change. The IPCC still quoted in my children's textbooks today with the Greenville County schools when they're taught falsehoods about man-made climate change or global warming. Yeah, that IPCC, the go-to source for the Washington Post, the New York Times, and everybody else who lies to the left, admitted something astonishing a few weeks ago. That the what they call extreme warming pathway, so that's where the ice caps were going to melt, according to them. That was scientific fact. Couldn't question it. The beaches were going to disappear. What they call extreme warming pathways that dominated climate research, policy, and media coverage for decades were never actually plausible. No! And they also admitted, you know, we told you that it was going to happen, but shucks, we never even examined it. Didn't study it. We just thought it sounded good. Hey, we take it all back now. That you've destroyed your grid to the benefit of China.
Oh, did we say that out loud?
Sorry. Yeah, it was just a mistake. Okay, well, Barack Obama took coal from 40% of our energy mix to 15, and he kind of didn't replace it. That's why energy prices are up 28% and all the factories went to China. So, like, what about that? You know, when you crooked scientists at the IPCC were watching us destroy our grid, destroy our energy base, destroy our industrial base, you didn't think to tell us you were lying? You didn't think to say, hey, guess what? Yeah, we haven't actually studied these scenarios. They're probably fake. No, they demonized anyone who questioned them, and they destroyed the careers of scientists who said true things. Which is how we got to the historic, folks, don't miss this. This is historic. To the historic point we got to this weekend where the Wall Street Journal admitted Al Gore completely full of crap. I mean, listen to some of the stuff this guy was saying. Florida's population, 13 million in 1992, would be halved because the water was going to flood Florida. And only 6 million would be able to live there. How many live there today? 23 million and growing. Remember in 1995, the lying New York Times, based on the IPCC, told us what? That we were losing 2 to 3 feet of beaches a year. And in 25 years, by gosh, there wouldn't be any on the East Coast. How's that working out? Does the left not notice this stuff? Like, they just get lied to, manipulated. I mean, folks, hey, Glacier National Park, remember? Al Gore's supposed to be just called National Park because there'd be no more glaciers. There still are. Total lie. Remember, this one's my favorite. The polar ice caps would be gone. Gone in 15 years. Or that would be roughly, what, 2021, 2022? You know, the ice is thickened, right? The polar bears wouldn't have died because there'd be no ice for them to walk on. They'd have to swim 60 miles and they would drown. It would be very sad. And their population would decline. It tripled. Folks, this is just like Russia collusion. But I want you to, as we sit through this moment of revelation where they admit it was always a lie. The left admits it. The IPCC admits it. They all admit it. Here's John Kerry, who was on track to eliminate coal use by 2030 and cause the necessary skyrocketing of electricity. Lying.
You have sea ice, which is melting at a rate that the Arctic Ocean now increasingly is exposed. In 5 years, scientists predict we will have the first ice-free Arctic.
What was the cost, folks? This is what our society is not grasping. The cost of not challenging their lies. Mike Adams knows.
We shouldn't have been pushing climate cultism for 20 years. We should have been building energy infrastructure. And frankly, in my opinion, we should have been building nuclear power plants. I think China knew this was coming over 20 years ago. China plays fifth generation warfare, a very smart, a very long-term vision about strategy. They knew that if they could cripple the West in terms of energy, the Chinese were there arguing in favor of the Paris Climate Accords for everybody else, but not for China. They would say, well, we are a developing nation. That was their excuse. We can't afford the climate lockdowns, but you guys can because you're wealthy nations. Well, by doing this, the radical leftists in Europe and in America, they fell for it.
Yeah, then China, remember that Senate hearing, U.S. Senate hearing, Ted Cruz? They funded all those lawsuits that the left brought. Shutting down oil, natural gas, kneecapping our grid. So who wins? Who always wins? The left in partnership with China. That is the cost here. They've already done the damage, y'all. That's why they don't need global warming anymore. China wins. That was the goal.
And so we lost 20 years of energy infrastructure. Now it is too late. It's absolutely too late. China's already well ahead. They've got, again, 2 decades of power infrastructure. They have more than double the aggregate terawatt hours output of the United States. The U.S. isn't even half the energy of China right now in terms of generation. It's not even close. China's also building a new dam, going to just dwarf the U.S. Even Trump said, let's build 10 of the Westinghouse AP1000 nuclear power plants, which I agree, it's a great idea. We should do it. And that process has begun. But that takes about 15 years with the permitting and the construction. 15 years? By 2040, the race to superintelligence, it's over. That's in the rearview mirror.
This is all about AI. China knew they had to kneecap us. Democrats helped. They don't need the lie anymore. Because China's in the lead now. But you know what? I disagree with him there. I think with Trump in office and another Republican term, we can catch up. No one beats American ingenuity, but we need it now. We need it fast. And we cannot lose another 4 years. The Democrats, China will steamroll us.
I'm Dr. Hrini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets uncomfortable. Banner civilizations, doomsday prophecies, and events that science still can't fully explain. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Big news here. The DOJ officially indicting former Cuban leader Raul Castro for the 1996 attack on two civilian planes that killed four men, including three Americans.
Chanley Painter joins us now with all the details. Hi, Chanley.
Hey, guys. So the charges against the former Cuban president come as the U.S. aircraft carrier USS Nimitz and its strike group also arrived in the Caribbean this week, adding to the escalating pressure by the Trump administration on Cuba's socialist government. The indictment against the now 94-year-old Castro alleges that when he served as Cuba's defense minister, he authorized the use of deadly force on two small planes operated by Miami-based exiles who had been dropping pro-democracy leaflets over Havana. It charges him with conspiracy, destruction of aircraft, and four counts of murder. Acting Attorney General Todd Blanche saying he expects Castro to face justice in the U.S.
President Trump is committed to restoring a very simple but important principle. If you kill Americans, we will pursue you, no matter who you are, no matter what title you hold, and in this case, no matter how much time has passed.
Folks, what an absolutely stunning contrast between Donald Trump and the Democrat Party. I'll attach a link to this photo in the sources section of this podcast. Barack Obama, 2016, sitting next to Raul Castro, the guy that we just indicted, yucking it up, big smile on their faces, at a baseball game in Cuba during Obama's visit. Those dead Americans, yeah, screw them. They shouldn't have dropped those leaflets anyway. Never came up on that trip. Too busy having a good time. Just one communist with another. Obama parties with a man who kills Americans. Trump indicts him. Now, you got to understand who Raul Castro actually is. Headline, CNN from last week. Raul Castro remains Cuba's power behind the throne. When he resigned in 2021 as first secretary of the Communist Party of Cuba, the highest position of power in the land, it marked the end of an almost six decades Castro rule. But the mantle was passed to Miguel Diaz-Canel, but for many Cubans, Raul continued to exercise what they consider a kind of power in the shadows, as they claim his presence and influence in the country's politics remain ever present. Folks, this is part of Trump's long overdue revenge tour. You kill 600 Americans, Soleimani did, in Iraq, and again, Soleimani was the number two in charge in Iran. We weren't even at war with Iran, and Trump drones him in that airport turnstile. He bombs the country. He kills their leaders. For too long, folks, Democrat Party is either palled around with those who killed Americans, in the case of Raul Castro, or outright funded them, in the case of the Iranian mullah dictatorship. The message couldn't have been clearer. Kill Americans and it ain't no big deal. That's created a very dangerous environment, folks. As we were told, well, there's nothing we do about Iran. Man, nothing really could do about Cuba. Trump's proving that wrong every day. There was a lot that Bush and Obama and Biden could have done about these people if they wanted to. But folks, I just think Trump needs to finish Iran. Iran should have been finished a few weeks ago before he takes up Cuba. I'm all for it, but messing around with Iran, letting them dictate terms is not working. We just go ahead and finish them. Or even better, let Israel do it. And by finish them, I mean this, the 12ers. Folks, most Americans don't realize these aren't regular Muslims. Not regular Shia Muslims, not regular Sunni Muslims. They're a true bona fide insane cult. They believe that what we call the Antichrist, the Mahdi, is hiding on Earth and that they need to start a massive war in order for him to approve of their actions and come out of hiding. When he does, they believe their genetic line, the Mahdi is from their genetic line, and they believe their genetic line, i.e. them, will rule the world. And it won't matter what caliber weapons anyone has. You cannot negotiate with that. What's even worse, and folks, you know, this war was going great in Iran until J.D. Vance got involved. J.D. Vance and Jared Kushner calling the shots on one side, calling for delay, 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 delay. And that's probably because J.D. Vance was pretty violently opposed to any kind of Iran war conflict before. He now says he supports, but I don't believe him. And on the other side, you have the generals, the Pentagon, the advisors, everyone begging Trump, please, to finish them off or let Israel do it. Here's the problem. When you look at what these 12ers believe, and this is the beautiful part of it, it is possible to kill them down to the last man and truly make the world a safer place, especially for our troops who, folks, remember, it's only been weeks since they fired that long-range missile they said they did not have at our joint base with the UK in Diego Garcia. And again, remember that missile? It is a classic nuclear ballistic missile. Didn't have a nuke on it, but it had that 1.5-meter space for nuclear delivery. Why does Iran have those? Because they're going to wipe out a base, maybe a European city. Who knows? But that's who you cannot deal with that. And here's the problem. The fact that we have backed down will be viewed by those people as a sign from Allah. Because the promise is this. It will not matter the caliber of the weapons that the enemy has. Allah will make a way, even if you are fighting with sticks and stones. And particularly if you are bringing back the Mahdi at the end of time. Folks, I don't know if you've been watching General Jack Keane. I follow him around the internet. He knows Trump watches Fox News. And twice yesterday, he looked dead in the camera and said, and this is not a Jack Keane thing to do. He's a retired four-star general. He's very measured. He looked dead in the camera. It gave me chills both times. And he said, you have to kill them. It was interesting how he put it. You have to. He's talking to Trump. If we do not kill them, the payback will be catastrophic. These are the people who armed, trained, and provided logistical support for October 7th. Meanwhile, folks, Elon Musk, several months ago now, told Joe Rogan, when Rogan asked, hey, you know, it kind of sucks that you disbanded Doge. And Musk said, no, we didn't. Still up and running. Quietly. Probably so the left doesn't burn down all the dealerships. And folks, it's almost every day now we get a new stunning stat about the full extent of the fraud, like this one that Senator Joni Ernst dropped on Fox Business the other day. An average $1.4 billion a day in federal fraud. Folks, that's $511 billion a year. Half a trillion. $5 trillion stolen over a decade. I mean, fuck, how do you even launder that amount of money in 10 years?
Well, what we have discovered as I've worked through a number of these fraud cases is that we lose approximately $1.4 billion every single day to fraud. That's taxpayer money. It's real money, Maria. And so through these small business programs, we are now exposing people working within the system, actually working for our federal government agencies that are perpetuating the fraud. We've got, you know, examples of a fraudfluencer who was using social media to recruit participants in a small business scheme, and she gained the system by about $3.5 million.
Folks, understand, when you hear this stuff, it probably makes you depressed because we've been robbed blind. I mean, serious question, how much of the $40 trillion we owe is just fraud stolen from us and our grandkids? I don't know, but here's the thing. Had Donald Trump never won, we wouldn't know this. And just being allowed to know this is the first step toward stopping it. And these figures, they're leaking out all over the place. Here's another senator, John Kennedy, talking about the $1.1 trillion worth of fraud from Medicaid alone in the last decade. Now, here's the good news. For much of the Biden administration, and even before that, the fraud rate in Medicaid averaged 24-25% a year. That is simply stunning. The good news is that they believe they've got it down to 5-8% now under Donald Trump. So that's a massive undertaking. We are making progress. Here's Kennedy talking about this fraud.
And that's how we end up having $1.2 trillion over a 10-year period stolen from the Medicaid program. Now, once again, Medicaid is supposed to be for sick people. When you're spending other people's money, it's real easy to expand beyond that. The Medicaid program in California will pay for scooters. I get that. Sometimes that might be necessary. Bicycles, but it'll also pay for music lessons. The Medicaid program in California will also pay for art lessons. This money didn't just fall for heaven from heaven. We all thank heaven for it, but it came out of people's pockets.
Battleground America with Tara Servatius. Please subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Share with friends, family, and other free thinkers. Thanks for listening.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.